when you don't know what else to say, when you don't know what to say, when you don't know who to call, all we can call on is Jesus. Amen. Thank you, praise and worship team. We appreciate it. You bringing us into the presence of the Lord this morning. If you would you open your Bibles today as we go into the message, and would you turn to the book of Psalms 103, Psalms 103, 1 through 5. Book of Psalms 103, 1 through 5. And then turn over to Luke, St. Luke 19, 1 through 6. So Psalms 103, 1, Luke 19, 1. The word of the Lord says in the book of Psalms, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee in loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like an eagle." Amen. If you flip over to Luke 19:1. Where the Lord says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before the climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. And he was to pass, because he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house." And this morning, I'd like to minister on the topic, when God moves, generosity happens. When God moves, generosity happens. Can we go to the Lord in prayer? Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord God. We come before you today, Lord Jesus, and we're humbled by what you've done for us. We're humbled by how you've moved in our lives. We're humbled from where you've brought us from and where you're going to bring us to, Lord Jesus. Lord, we look back and we see that we were once sinners, Lord Jesus. And we see that you saved us, Lord, and you delivered us, Lord. And you're continuing that work in us until this very hour, Lord. Lord, this morning we're asking for your anointing. Lord, I'm asking for your anointing, that you would send the preacher, that you would send the teacher, your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would send your Holy Spirit to the listener, Lord, whether sitting in this congregation or listening by CD or the internet, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would move this morning and that would touch and it would change lives. In your name we pray, amen and amen. Hallelujah. In 1952, the newspapers carried an article of a man named Al Johnson. He was a 23-year-old sheet metal worker from Kansas. And later in his life, he came to know Jesus Christ. But before he did this, he robbed a bank. And this newspaper carried this story of Al Johnson, and it had a bunch of words and a bunch of things in it. But it wasn't the conversation in the news article that struck out to me. What struck out to me was that Al Johnson decided to confess in front of the whole church what he did after he gave his heart to the Lord. He confessed that he had robbed a bank, that he had stolen money. And he not only did that, he went and turned himself in after that. And not only did he do that, he confessed to the police and he said, "I will repay what I stole." And they said, well, why did you do this? Why are you doing this now? The statute of limitations is up. You didn't have to do this. He said, "I'm saved. I'm a Christian. And the Lord told me to come and repent. And this is part of repenting." Can you imagine that? You see, there's many things that we've done that we might not want to go and tell someone about. There's many things that I've done that I don't want to sit down at lunch and talk about with you. Amen? It's a good time to nod your head. But Al, he decided to do it. And in the closing of the article, Al Johnson said his mission now was to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. And that's really the mission of every Christian, is to preach the gospel. You might not be standing before a crowd in the morning. You might not be teaching behind a pulpit. You might not be in a Sunday school room or something like that. But your job as a Christian is to go out and live and to preach the gospel. Amen? To carry that gospel out to this world. Not to be a part of the world, but to carry this gospel into the world. But you see, God works. God works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? He doesn't always work the way that we think that he's going to work. Because if he did, he would have the mind of man, wouldn't he? And we've discussed before that God's mind is not our mind. Amen. Hallelujah. His mind is not our mind. Hallelujah. But see, God has a special way. He has a process, if you will, if you can let me use that vernacular. And when He loves, He doesn't just love you. He lavishes you in love. He lavishes you in love. God lavishes you in love. It says in 1 John 3:1, "Behold, the manner of the love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." He lavishes us with love. He calls us the sons of God. Amen. I'm a son of the King this morning. You're a daughter of the King this morning. You're a son of the King this morning. Hallelujah. My family tree has changed. Has yours? My family tree is no longer what it was before. My family tree is now in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. He lavishes us. He doesn't just dole out wisdom, referring to this life, referring to this Word of God, because all the wisdom that we need is in this book, amen? Everything that we need in life and to understand can be found in this book, but He gives it generously, and He gives it without fault. Without fault, He gives it. That means that this book is true. That means that the things that we read in this book, in this breathed Word of God, are true, and that we can believe in them. James 1 and 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him." You see, I need wisdom in this Word of God. Do you need it? I need wisdom to walk and to live in this life. I need wisdom to walk after the Spirit and not after what my mind knows. And God gives it. All I have to do is ask for it. He is rich in kindness. He is rich in tolerance. And He is rich in patience. Wow. I bet that my children sometimes would wish that I was rich in patience or rich in tolerance. God is rich in kind and tolerance. He leads us to repentance. In Romans 2:4 says, "Are desperate thou riches of the goodness and the forbearance of long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" You see, that's what God does. He lavishes us, but it requires repentance. It requires us to repent so that He can give us all these things. His grace is exceedingly abundant, and His grace is not is found, it is found, but His grace is. It is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God's grace, portrayed as a man, portrayed on the cross. His grace is Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 1:14 says, "And the grace of the Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love in Christ Jesus." Amen. Faith and love in Christ Jesus. His grace is indescribable, and it's a gift. It's indescribable. When God comes down and He acts in your behalf, when He does something that you didn't deserve, it's indescribable. When His grace happens to you on whatever level, in any situation, whatever time, whether when you're first coming to the Lord or if you've been with the Lord for many years and His grace happens upon you and you recognize His grace, God, why would you do that for me? His grace is indescribable. 2 Corinthians 9:14 and 15 says, "And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God, His unspeakable gift." Unspeakable gift. It's a gift. When somebody gives you a gift, you don't have to do anything for it. Amen? When I walk up to your door and I give you a gift of something, when I hand you a $100 gift card to Olive Garden, you didn't have to do anything to get that. You can go and you can eat. Amen? It's a free gift. His grace, His love, His mercy, His loving kindness, all the attributes of God are a free gift if we're in Him. You see, He overflowed the table of the prodigal son at the banquet. They didn't just get together and go out and have a little sandwich. They didn't just get together and go out and have some bread. They had a banquet. A banquet. You know, we're going to get together next week and we're going to have fellowship together and it's going to be a banquet. There's going to be all kinds of things to eat there. I'm very sure that you guys are going to prepare things and bring them in and it's going to be all kinds of food, right? When we go to a wedding, we see it on an even bigger scale. When we go to a wedding banquet, We see a banquet full of food waiting for all the attendees to go and partake. He did this for the prodigal son. You see, we're doing it because we're getting together and we love each other. We want to be with each other. We want to be a church body. At a wedding, you get together because the bride and the groom are in love. And they're spreading their love out to all the people that are in their life that have shown up. But God, He spread His love on the prodigal son. The one that had left him. The one that had forsaken him. This is a picture of what we see in that story. He made the vats at the wedding overflow, abundant with wine. He filled Peter's boat twice with fish. Twice. Overflowing. Can you imagine that? Have you ever been out doing something and you're doing and you just can't make progress? Anybody ever have a day like that? I have days like that where I just keep running into the wall. I just can't figure it out. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit speaks to me and He says, "Have you asked me yet? Have you asked for help today?" And just like that song they said, "Jesus, Jesus, help me today." And things begin to go the right way. Things begin, no matter what's going on, it doesn't matter if it's happening right or not. His Spirit working in me, His Holy Spirit working through me, He begins to happen in my life. He healed all who sought Him. He taught all who wanted instruction when He was on this earth. Today, He saves all who accept the gift of salvation, the gift of salvation through proper faith in His Son Jesus Christ, through His only sacrifice, through the only door to the throne room, Jesus Christ, the cross that Jesus was crucified on, His all atoning atonement, His finished work. All who seek Him in that way, He provides salvation for. He provides everlasting life for, and all the things that are in God. God supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. In 2 Corinthians 9 and 10 it says, "Now that He ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." You see, the Greek word for ministereth means to make available whatever is necessary. Your God will make available whatever is necessary. Did you hear me this morning? Are you awake this morning? Your God will make available whatever is necessary. Amen. I'm glad I can go to Him. I'm glad He'll make available whatever is necessary to me in the time that I need it. Now notice I didn't say He'll make available a new Cadillac, because you might not need that at that time. You might need just somebody to call you up and say, "Hey, I'm praying about you. I'm thinking about you." He'll make available. Sometimes you might need a car. Amen. Sometimes you might need a little food. Sometimes you might need some real help. And amen, I'm glad to say that my God has provided the help. He's provided the need in the time that I've needed it. He make available. But you see, this word ministereth, we could also put the word in there supply and not be wrong. You see, the word ministereth and the word supply, they line up. And I'm not trying to get into different Bible versions and different like things like that. But those two words, if we go back and look at them in Greek, those are the same word. So we could say that He supplies seed to the sower. You see, my God, Jesus Christ, He loves to give. He loves to give. He loves to fund what you need. He loves to fund the work of God. He loves to fund the believer and provide whatever they need. You see, it's not about coming and giving so you can supply what we need. That's not the point at all. God can provide anything that we need, and God will provide anything that you need. And I guarantee you this morning, based upon what this Word of God tells me, if you solely put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you make Him the object of your faith, if you make Him your everything, your confidence, everything that you have, your life will change. If you take everything else in your life, everything else, your friends, your parents, your family, your husband, your wife, am I hitting home this morning? All those things that you have confidence in, and you put Jesus Christ in front of them, He'll begin to change and He'll begin to work on you. He'll begin to change your life. He'll be able to provide where there was nothing before. He'll be able to begin to change things where there was no change before in your life. He'll be able to give to you where there was nothing before. He'll be able to move you where you need to be moved. You see, before I put my faith solely in Him, I was leaning on myself. I loved God. I wanted to do good for God. I wanted to live for God. I was saved. I was going to heaven, but my faith was placed improperly. But oh, when I found Jesus Christ, when I found the true person of Jesus Christ, when I put my faith exclusively and totally in Jesus Christ, when I said, God, I am yours and I'm only going to follow you. I'm going to follow this message of the cross, this message of Christ, this message of salvation that you've given us from Genesis to Revelations. Then it wasn't me working. It allowed him to work. And oh, how abundantly did he pour out. Changing my life, changing my situation, giving me favor. Amen? Where there was no favor, where there was no change, where there was nothing but desolate. God is a giver and he loves to give. If you simply place your faith in his sacrifice, if you simply put your confidence in Jesus Christ. You see, not only is he a giver, he promised us a return on investment. You see, in my world, we'd call that ROI. We've got ROI today. We've got a return on investment, right? When we go in and we set up technology and we say, okay, I've saved you X amount of dollars because I've now done something technical for you. You don't have to no longer manually do it. ROI, return on investment. You're not doing something. You're getting more back in for the same output. God, he gives us return on investment, a return on our service to him. In Matthew 19:27, Peter asked Jesus the question. He says, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? What shall we have therefore? You see, today in this day and age, the body of Christ, the believer, we're in that same position. We're exactly the same way Peter was. Have you ever felt like Peter? The one who blasphemed God? The one who said he did not know him? I felt like Peter before. I felt like Peter. But if we look here, we see that he didn't answer Peter with an attitude. He didn't answer Peter in a harsh way. He said to Peter, and he said to the disciples in Matthew 19:29, we shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. I'm here to tell you this morning, you've lost things. I know you've lost things. I've lost things. We've lost family members. We've hurt domestic situations. We've walked away from things that we've known all of our life to follow Jesus Christ. We've taken it even a step further and said, Lord, we're going to follow your word solely. We're going to follow Jesus Christ. We're not going to do the things of man. We're not going to do what the church world's doing. We're going to put our faith completely in you. And we're going to set ourselves apart. And it's things have happened. I think we've lost things. But the Word of God tells us that he's going to replenish 100-fold. 100-fold, he's going to replenish these things to us. See, if you've lost friends, if you've lost houses, if you've lost family, if you've lost land, everything that's mentioned in this word, do you believe this word of God's true? Do you believe what I'm saying this morning? It's not just a good book. It's not just a poem. It's not just a parable. It's the Spirit of God talking to us. If we've lost these things this morning, Jesus is going to give us a 10,000% gain. 10,000% gain. That'd be like me, that'd be like you giving me $100 today. And next week when we come to the get-together, everybody's going to be there, right? Amen. Me giving you $10,000. You giving me $100. Me giving you $10,000. It's unimaginable that kind of investment could be had. Jesus Christ is going to provide 100-fold. See, the church, the believer is in that mental state today. What's in it for me? I'm doing all this stuff. I'm doing and I'm doing and I'm doing. And that's why it's so important that you're not doing and doing and doing, that you're following him, that you're not doing it because of works that you need to do, that you're working in the body of Christ because he asked you to do something, because he placed it on your heart. Amen? Because if we're doing for me and me and me, and you're doing for you and you and you, and we're not doing for him, then all we have is what's in it for me. See, when I go out and I work every day, and when you go out and you work every day, it's what's in it for you, isn't it? It's what's in it for your family, isn't it? Because you're trying to provide, and that's what the Word of God teaches. But again, the government of God, the body of Christ, works differently than that. We cannot have the what's in it for me mentality. But sometimes we bring it in, and it's flesh, and it's works that get into us. And we gravitate to it, but we can't do that because of what Jesus told Peter here. We can't go that way. We can't go that route. We've got to do it because we're doing it for God, not for ourselves. Again, 10,000%. If you've lost something this morning, if you've got the it's what's in it for me mentality, get away from it. Put your faith in Christ. Let Him work in you and see what Christ will do for you. See if He won't move in your life. And I'm not just talking money. I use money there because money is close to all of us. It's how we live in this world. But things in your life, relationships in your life, things happening on your job, things happening domestically, He's going to provide. He's going to change. He's going to move. And He's going to take you to a greater place because your faith is Him. Well, Brother Chris, are you preaching prosperity to me? No, I'm not preaching prosperity to you. I'm not telling you you're going to go out of here and be a millionaire. I pray that you are. I pray that God goes out and He blesses you mightily and you're able to do His work. But that's not what God, He said He'll provide for us. And you know, this morning, I would much rather Him do the work inside my heart, inside my soul, and change me and move upon me. Because when He starts doing that, all these other things that we think we've got to have, they're not going to be important anymore. We'll look out and all of a sudden we'll see where we live and what we drive and this and that and the other and those things. Because of what He's done in my heart and what He's done in my life and what He's going to do in your heart and in your life. God loves to dispense His goodness. He's not like a sprinkler. You've all seen the sprinkler in the yard, a little trickle. Sometimes they spurt out a little bit around here and there. God's goodness is like a fire hose. Like a fire hose. A sprinkler, a fire hose. You're like a Red Solo cup. God is like the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean. You can never hold either one of them. You can never hold His goodness. You can never hold everything that He has for you. You simply can't hold it all, and you simply cannot fathom how good He is. Are you getting it this morning? God is good. God wants to bless you. God wants to work in your life. God wants to move in your life if you come His way, if you come through Jesus Christ, if you come through the finished work of the cross this morning. And the best thing about it is it's a free gift. Matthew 10:7-8. As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leopards, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Freely ye have received, freely give. You see, this gospel is not to be sold. It's a free gift. Amen. When you've got something that can change a life, when you've got something that can bring somebody to salvation, when you've got somebody that can bring something that can bring somebody to sanctification, when you've got somebody something that can help somebody in their time of need, it's not for us to hold it up and ask for money. It's not for us to simply market the Word of God. It's a free gift, freely give. It's a free gift, freely give. You see, when God moves, generosity happens. Uncrushable, wonderfully, great-heartedness, generosity from God happens. See, it happened to Zacchaeus in our text this morning, didn't it? It happened to the greatest scam artist ever known in the Bible, probably, Zacchaeus. You see, he never met a person he couldn't cheat. He never met a person that he couldn't scam. He never met a man or a woman that he couldn't hustle, that he couldn't get something out of. The Bible calls him in Luke 19 the chief tax collector. The chief tax collector. And you see, in those times, in first century tax collectors in Rome, they were allowed to swindle anything that they wanted to from anybody. It'd be like somebody coming up and saying, okay, here's your tax on Rome. It's 20%. And oh, by the way, I'm going to have to take your gold bricks out in the backyard because Rome needs that too. And the idea was that whatever he took, whatever he got above what Rome had, he took it for himself. So Zacchaeus, as you can imagine, he lived a very rich lifestyle. He had all the greatest things of that time. He had the best transportation of that time. He had the best house of that time. He had the best clothes, the shiniest shoes, the softest clothes, all the high qualities of life that one could have. He belonged to the rich and famous club. He was filthy rich, but he was also guilty rich, because what he had earned was not his. You see, the Word of God does not speak against being rich, not at all. It says the love of money, right? Not money itself. If God blesses you and he moves upon you, and so be it. Use it for him. The greatest part of having is being able to give, amen? To freely give back. But you see, Zacchaeus, he didn't do that. That was not his motive. But see, he wasn't the first cheater to feel regret. He would also not be the first to wonder if Jesus could help him with his guilt and with his regret. You see, this cycle continues up until this very moment, up until this very hour, as people who have everything in this life, who have more money than you and I could ever know in this life, lay in bed awake at night wondering where they'll go tomorrow. What will they do tomorrow? Wondering what's going to fulfill the need in their life. What's going to get them through the next day. What they'll have to do, who they'll have to pay off, what they'll have to buy, what comes next just because they have it. Maybe this is what drove Zacchaeus up the tree that day. As Jesus traveled through Jericho, half the town showed up. Half the town showed up to see Jesus. And Zacchaeus, short in stature, he couldn't see. And they weren't going to let Zacchaeus go through. They weren't going to let short in stature, long in enemies, Zacchaeus make a way and get through and see what was going on. So Zacchaeus said, sycamore tree, I'll go up there. He spotted the sycamore, he scurried up it, he shimmied out on a limb, and he was happy to do it, to see Jesus Christ, to see what all the commotion is about. But see, something was drawing him to Jesus Christ. Something was leading him to Jesus Christ. Do you think that Zacchaeus would have ever imagined that Jesus would have called him, would have pointed him out, would have told him to come down from the tree, and would have went and had dinner with him that night? He did. In Luke 19:5, it says, "And then Jesus came to the place, and he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." What would you do if Jesus showed up and said, "I want to come and abide at your house"? God, can you come at 8 o'clock? I got to go home and take care of some things, right? Well, God, he never had a clue. He never even dreamed that this small, magnanimous thief of Zacchaeus, the one who stole from everyone, that lived very richly on everybody else's wealth, on everybody else's work. He never dreamed that Jesus was calling to him. But it tells us that Jesus, exactly what Jesus did there. He called out to Zacchaeus. Of all people in the crowd, he called out to Zacchaeus. Jesus Christ was calling for Zacchaeus. Financed with illegal money, avoided by his neighbors, talked badly about by the community, looked down upon by all. On this day, Jesus Christ was calling out to him. He chose to spend time with Zacchaeus, the one who no one else wanted, the one who no one else would make room for, Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. But you see, Zacchaeus, that we read there, that he made haste to meet Jesus. And this is very important. You see, when the salvation message is given, when the call for salvation is given, we need to make haste. If you're listening today by CD, by the internet, if you're not saved in this building this morning, when the salvation call is given, we need to make haste to run to Jesus Christ, because we don't know. We don't know what the next moments hold. We don't know what happens when we leave and we get out here on this road. We don't know what comes tomorrow. And maybe it's not us. Maybe it's the person that we have our faith in. Maybe something happens to them and all of a sudden our faith is crushed. Because we thought we were Christians. We thought we had faith, but all of a sudden our faith was in the wrong spot. And now, Now something's happened. Something terrible has happened. We don't know. Zacchaeus made haste to meet Jesus. We should respond quickly anytime the Lord calls us for salvation or anything else on that matter. If the Lord is speaking to you this morning about anything, make haste and run to Him and put your faith in Him. You see, Zacchaeus received Him joyfully. Notice that Jesus did not receive Zacchaeus, but Zacchaeus received Jesus. You see, this is a perfect picture of salvation. Jesus did not receive Zacchaeus, but Zacchaeus received Jesus. Jesus going out of His way, going up to the sycamore tree, looking for the tax collector, the chief tax collector, because it was His day of salvation. We must receive Christ. We must accept His finished work. We must place our faith, our confidence completely in Him and what He's done on that cross for everything that we need. And when we do, He places us in Him. Did you get that this morning? When we place our faith in Him, He places us in Him. Then God's wrath, His penalty, His judgment that was supposed to be carried out upon us is no longer carried out upon us because of God's grace. Because now, when God looks down upon you, the new Christian, the old sinner, the newly converted person, He sees Jesus Christ. He sees Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ makes a plea for you. He makes a witness for you. It's important, church, that we understand that today, that God sees Jesus Christ, that He sees His grace in Jesus Christ, and He doesn't see us, that we are perfectly and 100% clean when our faith is in Jesus Christ. You see, the watchers there that day, I bet they began to talk. Don't you think they did? Well, why is He going over there for? Well, why is He talking to him for? Well, what's that all about over there for? Right? Just as it is today. Why are you doing that for? What's going on over there? Well, I don't know if they're really changed or not. Well, He said He's saved, but I don't know if He's saved. Going on right at this time. You see, the world will always talk. But your job as a believer, your job as a Christian, your job as a follower of Christ is not to pay attention to the world. It's to pay attention to His Word. It's to know who God is and what God's doing, to listen for His voice and know His character when He's moving and operating. You see, Jesus Christ will never give in. He will never listen. He will never hearken to the world for what the world wants. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and His plan has been set since the beginning of time. Zacchaeus also wasn't the same after this meeting. We go down and we read in Luke 19:8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, the half of my goods I will give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold." You see, this was opposite of how the rich young ruler acted. It was an opposite. Zacchaeus immediately did two things. Number one, he recognized Jesus Christ as Lord. As Lord of his life, he recognized Him as Lord. That's the first thing we have to do as Christians, is recognize Jesus Christ as Lord. The second thing he did, he offered all that he had. All that he had to Jesus Christ for what he needed done. Now, we never see Jesus Christ coming back and saying yes and do this and amen. Jesus Christ was looking for him to acknowledge who he was and what he was going to do. Jesus Christ was looking for what Zacchaeus was offering. He was looking for a heart changed. You see, Jesus Christ, He walked in the front door, and Zacchaeus' self, our self, ran out the back. Who we are, our pride, our human, our flesh, walks out the back door. And it changed Zacchaeus forever. And it changed you forever. And it changes the human race forever when Jesus Christ truly enters into a person's life, truly saves someone, truly displays His grace and mercy and power on someone. It changes us. Is Jesus changing your heart? It's an ongoing process. Is He continuing to change your heart, continuing to change your life, continuing to change your mind, the things that you do, the person you are, the ways that you live? Is He continuing in you? Is the person and character of Jesus Christ, of God, being displayed in you? Not because of what you've done, not because of how holy or how righteous you think you are, because you're walking after the Spirit. You're following after Him. That's where the character of God shows through at. Has the cross infiltrated your very soul to the point that all you want to know is Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Has the cross infiltrated that when you read this book, when you read the different doctrines of this word, when you see the precepts upon precepts and the lines upon lines, that you see Jesus Christ from Genesis 1:1 to Revelations 22:21? Do you see Jesus being manifested completely through this word of God? Because as we talked about last week, Jesus is the word of God. Amen? Some people resist Him. They resist the change that He offers, the peace that He offers, the victory that He guarantees. The ungrateful servant did. You see, the story of the ungrateful servant, see, he owed more money to the king than he could ever repay. Have you ever been there? Owed more of something that you could ever repay? This is where this ungrateful servant was. He tried to pay it back. He was just unable. He was unable to make the payments in today's vernacular. Back to the king. Matthew 18:25-27 says, "But forasmuch as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and the payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him of the debt." You got that right? He was going to lose everything he had, his wife, and his children. And the king felt compassion, and he forgave him of the debt. This is the picture of a sinner who cannot pay the staggering debt that we owe to Christ, the staggering debt that we owe to God, the staggering debt that Jesus Christ paid on the cross for us, the debt that was placed upon me, the debt that was placed upon you, the original sin debt that was placed upon us as soon as we began in this world, the debt that was placed upon us at Cain and Abel, the sin debt that we could not pay. This is a perfect picture of Jesus Christ forgiving that debt, of sin being loosed from the sinner. But see, we continue on and we read, after the man had been forgiven, the man made a beeline to another man's house who owed him money, just a few dollars, and he demanded that money be given back. The just blessed will become quick to bless, freely given? No. Not this time. This time he demanded payment. He turned a deaf ear to the man that owed him money. The plea for mercy from that person, the same plea that he had given the key, that he had given the king, and he took that person and he locked them in the debtor's prison. You might ask, how could he be like this after he was just forgiven, after the king had just forgiven him? The word doesn't tell us. Jesus doesn't tell us in this parable what happened. He leaves it up to us to kind of speculate, to kind of wonder what happened. But I think we could gather this much. Grace never happened to this person. Mercy never happened to this person. He had left and thought that he had conned the man, thought that he had defrauded the old man that he needed the money from. But as he exited the castle, now with a not with a thankful heart, but with a thought of what a great king I serve, but with a puffy chest, what a clever man that I am. You see, we've all thought that when we've gotten away with something. It's kind of funny in kids, you know, when they think they get away with something, right? You sit there and you watch them do it, and they come in and they just got a big smile on their face like they got you over. Well, the same thing happened here. Somebody went and told the king what happened. The king went back and he took this man who had took from this other man and who had not received the grace and who had not received the mercy, and he became angry with him. And it says, "Then his Lord after that had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that he was due unto him. So likewise shall the heavenly Father do also unto us if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." We must never forget how much the Lord has forgiven us, how much the debt was paid on the cross of Christ, how much we should have been in his place and not him. We should never forget the lack of forgiveness to others revokes a lack of forgiveness in God. The lack of forgiveness for others revokes God's forgiveness in us. You see, sometimes we get upset, and sometimes rightly so. I'm not saying as a Christian that you should just stand by and take it. Don't leave here and say that. But the unforgiveness part will build up and will build a barricade around your heart for what God's trying to do with you. If you have unforgiveness this morning against anything, anybody, seek the Lord. Ask Him to help you with it. Ask Him for the faith. Ask Him for the strength, and He'll provide it. True forgiveness comes from the heart. True forgiveness comes from the heart. And the best thing about it is God knows the heart. You see, sometimes we as mere men, we like to say words, don't we? We like to say, well, yeah, that's no big deal. You know. But what's in our heart? Have you truly forgiven this morning? In closing, and again, I said I was going to let you out a little bit early. If you would stand with me, Christ gives. The grace given, give grace. Is God's grace happening on a continual basis to you? Is God's grace working in you? Is His mercy? Is His forgiveness? Is His victory? Is His loving kindness working in your life on a daily basis? Are you seeking Him when you're not feeling so good? When you're not feeling that you're working, when you're not feeling Jesus Christ working in Him? Are you seeking Him? Are you seeking His faith, His mercy? Is Christ happening to you? How long has it been since your big-heartedness surprised someone, since your Christianity stunned someone, since the character of Jesus Christ in you astonished someone, since the Holy Spirit power in you was able to reach into you and change you, and therefore the change in you being noticed by somebody else, not giving the glory to self, not giving the glory to this church body, not giving the glory to the words of a minister, the words of a teacher, the words of a song, but giving the glory to Jesus Christ and sharing the goodness of God, what He did for you on Calvary, His finished all atoning work. Consider God's character this morning. Consider His grace, His mercy, His justice, His loving kindness. Psalms 103, 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Let God's character live in you. Let what Jesus Christ did on the cross penetrate you this morning. Let it move in your heart. You say, well, Brother Chris, I don't understand what you're saying. I don't understand this message of the cross. I don't understand the message of the gospel that you're talking about. I love Jesus. I gave my heart to Him. You see, that's good, and that means you're saved, and that means you're going to heaven. But you see, there's more in Jesus Christ than just that. And it all starts and it all finishes with the cross, with His all-atoning work that He did there, His finished work that completed, that paid the sin debt for man. With every head bowed this morning, every eye closed, I first want to give a call for salvation. If you've heard this message this morning and you say, I want that. You say, I want God's goodness. I want the victory. I want His loving kindness to operate in my life, no matter how old you are this morning. Whether you're a child, whether you're a full-grown adult, whether you're young, whether you're old, Brother Chris, I want what you're talking about. I want to prosper in Jesus Christ. My life is not where I want it to be. It's not what I want it to be. Just by simply raising a hand this morning, say, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to rededicate my life to Christ, and I want to learn about this message of the cross that you speak about, this gospel, this message of Christ and Him crucified. Just a few minutes this morning, just a few seconds, if you would just raise your hand with everyone's head bowed and no one looking around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Secondly, believer, if you know you're saved, if you know you're going to heaven, if you've placed your faith in Christ, ask Him to do more in you. Ask Him to continue the work that He started. Ask Him to greatly pour out on you, to give you the things that He's promised you, to pour His goodness out and provide for you this morning. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we thank You today. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. We give you thanksgiving. Lord, you're wonderful, Lord Jesus. Lord, this morning as a body, we reaffirm our faith in you. We reaffirm that we're walking after the Spirit and not after our flesh. We reaffirm that we're seeking you for everything that we need, Lord God. Not for what you're going to supply, Lord Jesus, but because you've asked us to do this. Because you've asked for simple faith that we portray in you, that we give to you, Lord God. And Lord, we believe what your word says, Lord. We believe that you're going to give back as much as you said you would, Lord Jesus. Lord, again, not monetary, Lord God. Lord, that could be part of it, Lord Jesus. But we're believing that you'll change our hearts and change our minds and set us on a new path, Lord Jesus, that we may bless you, Lord God, and through blessing you, Lord, might bless others. Lord, in your name we pray, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for being in God's house this morning. It's about 10 till. I went a little bit longer than I should have. I apologize, but if you just give me just a few minutes, if you want to take 3 to 5 minutes, if you need to use the restroom, that'd be great. We'll go into our church meeting here, and I'll come back in and start that right about 5 till.